Anyone watch TV in the 70s? You watched those commercials for, I don't know, Silozzi Edelson and Elmhurst, where you always save more money. Or there was breakfast cereals, Quisp. Who remembers Quisp? Quake? No? Frankenberry? I think they still have that, right? It comes back. Booberry? It was blue and gross, yeah? The commercials, I mean, there were great kids' commercials, great adult commercials, and there were jingles that you remember. We all have the Coca-Cola one, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing, and the Michael J. Fox for Pepsi, where he tore open a Xerox, it must have been a Xerox copy of a Pepsi, and it made the noise. You remember, all these commercials have some powerful memories for us. And there's one for that antiperspirant that you spray on, and there was a jingle, raise your hand, raise your hand.
If you're sure.
If you're sure, you got it. So you were watching TV. There's a comfort in being sure. Being sure you have worn the proper antiperspirant so as not to risk moisture under your arms. Don't check now. It gives you a secure, confident feeling, a feeling of being sure. And like that antiperspirant commercial that I remember and many of you remember, I think a whole generation of people believes that to be sure is the best. Raise your hand if being sure is best. Look at this. Not sure. Wait, is this when I'm supposed to raise my hand? Not. It doesn't matter. It's not a quiz where I'm taking an inventory of who's right and who's wrong. A lot of people think being sure is best, and I'm not so sure about that. I do think that wonder and imagination and dreaming, questioning, learning, and doubting are what the world needs more of. There were Christians right around the time when Jesus had left, and they were sure that Jesus was returning, absolutely, positively sure he was returning soon, not like now, 1,000 years or 2,000 years from now. It was then, within our lifetime. They didn't know what day or what hour, but they knew it was going to come all before they died. They had to be ready because it was going to happen. It was imminent, surely, any day. And guess what happened? It didn't happen. And it's possible that this generation will not pass until all these things have taken place. From this morning's Bible reading, and it talks about all these things where Jesus comes back, it's possible that it isn't about a 40-year generation, but maybe it's about the generation of humanity. This is what some Bible scholars have conjectured. Maybe humankind won't pass on until Jesus returns, which is a pretty safe bet if you're going with that. But I don't think that that's what this meant. I think that everyone who was sure that Jesus was coming back right away got it wrong. They were sure, and it didn't happen. And folks have actually been trying to figure out a way to be sure about either when Jesus is coming back or about all things faith-related or science-related, for that matter, ever since. But there's a freedom in keeping awake, being ready for what might happen or what is going to happen without being sure of any of it. There's a freedom in wondering. Right? There's a freedom in imagining, in dreaming, in questioning, in learning. There's a freedom in doubting. As a matter of fact, there's more than a freedom in those things. For humanity to be good, for humanity to be rich, for humanity to thrive, there's a necessity of wondering. There's a necessity of imagining, of dreaming, of questioning, of learning. There's a necessity of doubting. And yes, I've said something like that many times before, because there's a necessity in wondering, imagining, dreaming, questioning, learning, and doubting. But I've heard oftentimes but being sure is so much more comforting than doubting and questioning. Can't we simply just know exactly how things are and exactly how things are going to be and exactly what to do and exactly what not to do? After all, we've got this book. We've got a Bible. It tells us exactly what to do, exactly what not to do. Except sometimes that book gets confusing, doesn't it? And sometimes it doesn't say what you think it says. And sometimes people have thought it said this for so long and it doesn't. And then sometimes it says things that contradict itself. And maybe it would be easier and more comforting if we just knew. But the reality is we don't. We don't know how to do everything. We don't know how everything works out. Because the Bible is, well, what it's not. It's not some secret document that only a select few can understand. And it isn't filled with secret codes that one can only truly know by receiving some kind of secret knowledge. And yes, it can be confusing, and folks disagree about it, and they debate about it. But that's because it's literature, not because it's filled with secret codes. And you can find things that are coded in the Bible. The book of Revelation, for all its apocalyptic end times interpretations, it's a coded book. But it's a coded piece of writing about the end of the Roman Empire. And it's still with us, because the Roman Empire just didn't understand that it was about them. So there's a code. It's not some secret code that we don't know. It was almost a joke at the Romans' expense, but it was telling about the fall of the empire. But so the Bible is confusing. It's inspired. It's challenging and definitely worth studying. It just isn't some secret coded book that only the enlightened few can get. We don't know precisely how everything works out, and we don't know when everything works out. Is that comforting or is that discomforting? We don't know. We're not sure. I do see that the end of this morning's Bible reading, though, gives a two-word instruction. What's the two-word instruction? Stay awake, keep awake, yes. It doesn't say be sure of everything that is coming or else you'll be in trouble. Nope, didn't say that. It doesn't say stop asking questions and just do what I said. That's what our parents say, right? It says keep awake. And what can we do while we're keeping awake? I may have said these terms at least 7 times in the sermon already. We can wonder, imagine, dream, question, learn, and doubt. Those are ones to put on the refrigerator. They're the ones to put on your Facebook wall. They're the ones to paint anywhere. Wonder, imagine, dream, question, learn, and doubt. Wonder together about things. Imagine what's possible for our church, for the community, for the whole world. Dream big. Ask lots of questions. Discuss them, research them, and then ask them again. And learn. Learn as much as you can about as much as you can. And then learn some more. And then doubt. And have faith at the same time. And remember these ideas. I know that I have shared these before about doubt and faith. With thanks to Anne Lamont, I think, faith without doubt isn't faith at all, it's certainty. And from Elie Wiesel, faith without doubt isn't faith at all, it's indifference. Or some other quotes. If you know for sure, there's really no need for faith, because you know for sure. If you don't care, there is no need for faith. Or when you doubt, faith is what keeps you seeking. Because doubt acknowledges that you don't know, and faith lets you keep seeking even though you don't know. And then there's my favorite words from the poet Gibran. Here it is. Doubt is a pain too lonely to know that faith is his twin brother. They are so interconnected, with one another. Doubt is a pain too lonely to know that faith is his twin brother. So this Advent season, keep awake by doing good. Gave a challenge to the children. Let's give a challenge to all of us. Today, do something good. And tomorrow, do something good. Keep awake by showing love and kindness. Keep awake by wondering and imagining and dreaming and questioning and learning and doubting. And remember this. We all can not know everything together. Amen.